My name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're always sharing the success of entrepreneurship. And this week, our series of stories are for the record, because we're featuring our legal stories of this week and litigators this week. That means my co-host is Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, who's also hosting the show.
Hi there, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
Thank you, Mark. Nice to see you, too. Mark, new glasses?
Yes.
I wanted to tell you, they're really outstanding.
Thank you. they're selected by my wife.
Of course, over
my objection.
I think they look very fashionable, Mark. Yeah. I was in shock. Yeah. Our next guest, I hope you don't mind me picking on you a little bit, Mark, I get away with it on the radio, is Michael Paris from the law firm of Nystrom, Beckman, and Paris.
Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I guess we're going to talk about a very sore subject, financial fraud.
Financial fraud, exactly. The Wizard of Lies has been out on HBO featuring Madoff, and I thought it might be something for your entrepreneurs to learn a little bit about. Everybody can be a victim if you're not careful, and I thought we'd talk a little bit about that.
Great. Tell us a little bit about your background and the law firm, and then let's get into the story.
Sure. The law firm is a boutique litigation firm. We're all big firm lawyers who left the big firm to go do it on our own and be our own legal entrepreneurs. We do all kinds of complex commercial litigation, internal investigations, business disputes, family disputes, employment law. The host runs the gamut. But one area that we've gotten involved with in the last 6 or 7 years is the issue of financial fraud. And it usually comes up in the context of wealthy people, entrepreneurs, family offices who make alternative investments and they turn out to be anything but an investment. They turn out to be either what we call scams, cons, or Ponzi's. And so what we have done over the course of the last 7 years is represent various investors, usually in big groups, going after culpable parties or third parties who have helped perpetrate the fraud. If you have a Madoff, if you have a Stafford, if you have one of these huge cases, it takes a village to perpetrate a fraud when you're talking about billions of dollars. It's not just the one bad apple. There are many bad apples. And what we've done is aggregate investors, gone after people who were culpable, and have had some good success in recovering people's monies after they've gone through the horror of being a victim. And everybody has to be careful about it, because you know, entrepreneurs, your audience, you're on the golf course, people come up to you and they're like, hey, I've got this investment, I'm going to put $100,000 in. Why don't you put $100,000 in? And, you know, and then people do it based on a handshake. And that's where you got to be careful, because there are a lot of pitfalls to that, which we can talk about.
Well, you make it sound like it's a very complicated onion, and it's not as simple as what you see on the surface. And I guess there's a little bit of forensic work that you're doing. You have to peel away that onion to get to all the layers of how the rot is happening. Is that what you're saying?
100%. I mean, when you finally find out that the investment you made may no longer have value, there are many layers that we're pulling apart. And the layers involve all of these different people who may have been involved, different firms that may have been involved. And you get to, as you say, sort of the rot of the onion, and that's where you go after, and you go and you cut it out, and you try and figure out how are we now going to replace that onion with other funds so that you can recover your money. And that's the difficult part. But that's what, we've had a lot of success trying to do.
So I'm curious whether, based upon your work, you have any observations as to the type of personality that is people should be on the most wary of, a characteristic of perpetrators of fraud.
A great question, yeah. I think Mark's really sort of gotten to what I would have wanted to learn.
It really runs the gamut, I have to be honest with you. It really runs the gamut. The typical fraudster tends to be slick, tends to be, you know, a high flyer, is flying around in private jets and, you know, wearing the, you know, very expensive clothes. But the people around that person aren't necessarily the personality types that you might think. There are often accountants and lawyers and auditors and bankers who get sucked in by the fraudster. So the investor, the ultimate investor, isn't necessarily getting exposed to sort of the high-flying person. It's his or her friend. It's their accountant. It's their lawyer. So they don't always see that, and they get drawn in because somebody else oftentimes says, hey, this is a good investment. Somebody told me about this, and it flows all the way down from the person at the top, the bad guy at the top, and then all of a sudden you're drawn in, not necessarily because of the snake oil salesman, but you're drawn in because, oh, the auditor said this is a good investment. I got a letter from a law firm that said, yeah, this is a legitimate deal. We had a case where we had a number of investors, very, very wealthy people, who wanted to get pre-IPO shares of a very well-known public tech company. And the scam was, hey, we're going to put together all these investors and we're going to buy a block of shares from insiders. And the investors put their money in, and lo and behold, somebody asked, is this a legitimate deal? And they got a letter from a prominent national law firm saying, yes, we're putting together the papers. Well, I don't need to tell you what the punchline is, but the shares never got delivered. There never was a deal. And people got taken.
Why did the letter really come from that law
firm? The letter came from the law firm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the law firm wound up.
Because professionals can get sucked in as well.
100%. 100%. People, and
they're not impervious to being lied to either.
Not impervious to being lied to. Not impervious to turning a blind eye. And that's what often happens with the what we call the aiders and abettors, the people who help these people perpetrate these things. They turn a blind eye. You might have a law firm. You might have an accounting firm. They don't kick the tires hard enough. They believe their client. And if it doesn't add up, they don't always question it. And then they put their imprimatur on the investment. And people say, hey, well, if this law firm said it's okay, if this accounting firm did an audit, if this banker said it's okay, it's fine. But oftentimes you see people on the take, people getting benefits from the real bad person at the top, and that's how the people get sucked in.
So, is you know, I always say to my clients, different. I'm in a different business, if it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true. And then I also say you only get scammed by your friends because those are the people you let your guards down with. So, you know, is it a fact of life that we cannot trust anyone?
No, I think you can trust people, but you got to trust but verify. And so if somebody gives you an investment idea and you're on the golf course and they're like, I'm going to put $500,000 in this. Come on, put $500,000 in it. Don't just rely on your friend. Take it to your lawyer. Take it to your accountant. Kick the tires. Look out for what the common red flags are. Sometimes people say, oh, well, here's the deal, but I had to block out who the investor is because it's confidential. If a deal's confidential and you're putting in real money, stay the heck away, because you don't want to be part of something that's so secretive. Because once it's secretive, you know, there's problems that lie below it. Don't believe necessarily that, hey, this firm was audited and therefore everything is fine, because the auditors don't catch everything. They don't. It depends on the nature of the audit. Don't believe what, you know, if you get a letter from a law firm that everything is okay. Kick the tires. And there are certain types of investments that are particularly suspect. You know, in this low interest rate environment, people are always doing promissory notes with so-called guarantees and, you know, offering high rates of interest. You know, you're going to get 15% guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Right?
Guaranteed. Lord. And here's the one page piece of paper. Here, just sign this and give me $1 million and you're going to get your 15% every year. Well, in a real deal, right, the guarantee and the promissory note has to be backed up by assets. Like right there, you need to know that there's stuff behind all this. But you'd be surprised how many people sign a one-page piece of paper. They hand over $1 million check and then they're stuck. And they're not alone. That's the other thing. They're not alone. None of these financial frauds that we've been involved with has one victim or two victims. They have hundreds of victims, you know, sometimes thousands of victims, because people all get bought in. And there's this sort of herd mentality. If you know Jeff's involved, Mark's going to put his money in.
And then it'd be the other way around.
But that's sort of
that was actually giving Mark a leg up on me.
No, they do try to, from what I've read about it and my experience in this world, which I have some, is, you know, they do try to portray it as, you know, an exclusive club. It's hard to be an investor with Madoff. He doesn't just take anybody's money. So he created this kind of attitude, you were lucky to get in. And then the word guaranteed anything, guaranteed returns are, you know, if you have a government-insured CD subject to the FDIC limit, I guess that's pretty close to guaranteed, but short of that, nothing is guaranteed.
That's absolutely right.
And but I, you know, I'm interested in the personality of these people, and there's so many of these stories written.
Narcissistic tendencies for the majority of them.
Yes,
and then
for
one
sure.
Of the things I,
for sure.
One of the things I read is that, you know, they think they're smarter than anybody else, and that initially, when they take people's money, they intend to pay it back because they're so much smarter than anybody else. But they reach a point near the end that it becomes apparent even to them they're not going to be able to pay it back, and then they just steal the maximum amount they can till they get caught. It's kind of a interesting psychology.
But that's precisely right. More often than not, these alternative investments that wind up becoming financial frauds don't start out. They're not always a scheme to start out. And that's why you have to be really careful about doing your due diligence and kicking the tires. Because what happens is at the beginning, oftentimes you get these real heavy hitters who are putting in huge money. You may have a hedge fund that decides to put in, literally, we had a case where a hedge fund put in, you know, almost $100 million into an investment. Subsequent investors came in and said, well, if that hedge fund is putting in this kind of money, got to be legitimate. Right. And then you have the billionaire who puts in, you know, a few million bucks. Well, if this noted billionaire is in, then I'm safe if I put my 500 grand in. And so they don't start out that way. They oftentimes attract real, what is perceived to be legitimate investors.
Sure.
And then the follow-on happens, and then it starts to crack. And when it cracks, if you're one of the last ones in, that's when it becomes really difficult. Because some of these people who have their money in early may then have motivations to get their money out. And
they may get it out.
They may get it out. They may vouch for the investment.
I got my 15%.
You know, you ought to put this in, because they start to say, well, you know, if other people put their money in, that may be my only exit strategy here. Again, not totally nefarious, but not necessarily ethical or right. But it's the only way that they can get money out for their investment group.
Well, and there was amazing complexity of the litigation over how the recovery in the Madoff case would get distributed, and who had their money claw back, who would receive funds. And I mean, it was just there's so much litigation. And so, like Carl Shapiro, you know, his name is in all these hospitals. And
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I go to Florida, they're there.
And he was, you know, an early investor with Madoff. And I think there was a claim, you know, there's litigation seeking by the trustee seeking to have him repay returns that he had gotten, which were really based upon other people investing money and then Madoff meeting his promises to Carl Shapiro and others using other people's money. So it's really interesting. Then you have the feeders, you know, many of whom are compensated for getting people to invest. Some of the feeders are licensed to receive that compensation, but in some of these Ponzi schemes, feeders were compensated who didn't have the appropriate licenses. They have a huge problem. And then you have the people who manage other people's money who just didn't really do any due diligence. I know two financial professionals who will certainly remain anonymous who were asked to look at the Madoff investment, and I know one who advised his client not to invest. So elevated him in my mind.
This is a subject that deserves a lot more time. I mean, as you're talking and Mark's talking, all these things are rushing through my head. Maybe a little bit of my heart, too, that I want to say. And we just don't have enough time for it. It's a great topic. And if somebody, Michael, wants to reach you and talk to you about these things, how would they find you?
Sure. You can find me at mparis at N as in Nancy, B as in boy, Paris.com. Or you can call me directly at 617-778-9128. And if anyone out there has been a victim, it's very important, just three quick points. Don't be ashamed, because a lot of people sit on the sidelines because they think that, hey, if I've been scammed, I have no recourse and I don't want to let anybody know. If you think that you've been scammed or you're part of an investment that is going bad, payments have been missed, get help right away, because there are other people who are out there.
Well, that's a good indicator.
Yeah,
missing payments.
You miss a payment, that is the ultimate red flag, you know? Call us right away, because that's where
it must have got lost in the mail.
Yeah, and
or and, oh, I'm sorry, my I spilled orange juice on my computer and it
left it on the front seat of my car.
Left it on the front seat of the car.
But the point is, you're not alone. Once you put investors together, you have a lot more power, and you can do something to recover your money.
Yes.
Well, for those who have forgotten already, but we haven't. That was Michael Paris of the law firm Nystrom, Beckman, and Paris speaking for the record on Radio Entrepreneurs. Also, my co-host, my co-counsel for this interview was Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mike,
for being on the show. We hope you come again. We'll stay on that subject.
My pleasure. Be happy to.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.